This is our final day, final half day. Our yatra. And we find ourselves in the presence of a very merciful deity. Shishi Radha Vinod. And the pujari is a very, very wonderful devotee. He's very happy to do whatever service for the devotees that he wants. He likes being in a very quiet place like this. You'll see when we go to the other places, like Radha Govinda Temple, busy, 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 so many people coming, going, clatter, and sound amplification, and buzz, 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 and this is very much to his liking, very much like Lokanath himself. Because of the packed schedule that we'll have this morning, I'm going to speak something about Lokanath and Radha Vinod. And we'll come back again and have his darshan again because he's so attractive. If you can recall when we were at the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, in the courtyard where Rupa Goswami's bhajan kutir and samadhi is, way over to the side from the temple, way over on the other side is a samadhi of Bhugarbha Goswami. Bhugarbha and Lokanath were contemporaries who came to Vrindavan before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived. We do not hear so much about Lokanath or Bhugarbha in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there's a particular reason for that in the case of Lokanath. Lokanath was very much elder to many of the Vaishnavas, and particularly Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. When he was preparing to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, as he was requested to do so by the pujaris of the Govindaji temple, he went to each of the senior Vaishnavas and begged their permission or their blessings to carry out this task. And when he went to Lokanath, Lokanath gave his blessings on one condition, that he not mention his name. So Lokanath's name is not mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This gives us something of an idea of the mood of Lokanath. His mood, just like the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was one of complete humility. Complete humility. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that he was going to leave Navadvip, take sannyas, and leave, and his plan was to come to Vrindavan, he told Lokanath that you will not, in advance of his sannyas, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed five individuals of his plan before carrying out his plan. Lokanath was one. And he informed him of his plan and said that he should go to Vrindavan in advance and make arrangements for him when he reaches there. So that was very confidential service. But Lokanath did not want to do that. because he didn't want to bear a moment's separation from Lord Chaitanya. But he understood the gravity, the seriousness of Lord Chaitanya's request. And so he left. But before leaving Navadvip, he went to each and every one of the Vaishnavas requesting blessings. Fell at their feet, touched their feet, and requested blessings that he has some service to do to go to Vrindavan. Please give me your blessings. See the character of Lokanath. This, as the description of his life unfolds, you get a deeper and deeper sense of his personality. When he came to Vrindavan, there was nothing like we see. The places of Krishna's pastimes had been lost. There were no temples. There were no roads. There was nothing to give any kind of clear evidence of Krishna's pastimes. But Mahaprabhu had given this assignment to him, and so he came to Vrindavan, and he was simply living in the forests of Vraja. Of course, the local Vrijbasis, they knew where the forests were, and he traveled throughout all the forests of Vrindavan, waiting for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. But we've heard this description, Mahaprabhu didn't come. When he accepted sannyas, his plan was to go immediately to Vrindavan. That was his intention. But by different arrangements and tricks of Lord Nityananda, instead he went to Shantipur to give his association one more time to all of his devotees in Navadvip. And at the house of Advaitacharya, Mother Sachi made the request, do not go to Vrindavan. You are all that I have left. My husband is gone. My other son has gone. My other children have died. You're all that I have left in this world. But now you've taken sannyas. If you go to Vrindavan, that too will be taken away. Better if you would please do so. Go to Jagannath Puri. Krishna is also there in Jagannath Puri in the form of Lord Jagannath. And there's so much more connection between Jagannath Puri. The devotees go there every year for Jagannath Rath Yatra. And when they go, then I can get some news of your well-being. And from time to time, you may want to come and take bath in the Ganga, and so I will get to see you personally. So with that request of Mother Sachi, immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted her wish. He placed his strong desire subordinate to the desire of Mother Sachi. And so he went to Puri. And after being in Puri for some time, he made his South India tour. And as he was touring in South India, Lokanath in Vrindavan is waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally word came, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has gone to South India. He didn't come to Vrindavan. The attachment of Lokanath for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong. He left Vrindavan by foot. He traveled all the way from Vrindavan to the tip of South India, searching for Lord Chaitanya. Imagine, how do you find somebody in all of South India? But he traveled. And when he reached South India, he heard that Lord Chaitanya had made his travels through South India, and he was on his return to Puri. So very swiftly, Lokanath went to Puri, only to find out Lord Chaitanya has left, heading for Vrindavan. So he quickly went to Vrindavan, and as he reached Vrindavan, he found, oh, Mahaprabhu was here for several months, and just the other day he left for Prayag. And so with just utter despondency. Lokanath, he was told, Mahaprabhu was looking for you, and he couldn't find you. He very much wanted to see you. So Lokanath decided the next morning he would go to Prayag and try to catch Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he had a vision where Lord Chaitanya appeared before him and instructed him to remain in Vrindavan and to wait for Rupa and Sanatan, who were the embodiment of his compassion, his personal compassion, and take their association. How strong is the instruction of a master? The idea of a relationship where one is attached to another, particularly a spiritual relationship, where there's a mood of loving service. The order of the master is life and soul. And it may sometimes be very hard to place my own desire completely subordinate to the desire of the master. But Mahaprabhu had given his instruction. So he had to stay. He wanted to go. He traveled all over India by foot to find him. And just a few days prior, it may be tough sometimes. Because the main principle that most people operate with is this idea Bhaktisiddhanta called it dovetailing. I have my desire, and in the realm of devotional service there's some match between things that Krishna likes, so I do what I like and connect it with what Krishna likes. So dovetail, put together our desire, and somewhere out there is something like what Krishna desires, so it's very nice. But what happens when our desire is something 180 degrees diametrically opposite what Krishna wants? Then what do we do? The mood of devotion is immediately we subordinate our desire to Krishna's desire. Prabhupada describes this in Nectar of Devotion when he's describing the rasa of sakya, of servitorship, dasya. He gives us the example, Krishna's son Pradyumna. And he says that when Pradyumna would desire something and Krishna would desire he not do that something, Pradyumna would not do that something. And if Pradyumna had a desire to not do something and Krishna indicated to do that something, he would do that something without hesitation. That's servitorship. And servitorship is at the basis, the foundation of transcendental rasa. So transcendental rasa of servitorship is Lord Chaitanya says stay and you want to go, so you stay. Lord Chaitanya says go, you want to stay, so you go. The problem is most persons don't have a master. Anatta. There's no one that they're surrendered to, and so it's whatever the dictate of the mind says. I don't want to go here, I don't want to go here. I want to go there, I don't want to go there. And life is just this chaotic cacophony of voices from the mind, following this idea, that idea, trying to dovetail, but really it's just my desire. Therefore, Lokanath showed this mood of servitude toward Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted his order and stayed. Now this very deity that we see on the altar suddenly appeared in a very mysterious way. When we went to Varsana, remember we were traveling down a road and we stopped on the way back at the village of Induleka that was on our left or on our right coming back. Just before that, on the right going in, is the place where Lokanath made his residence. Kathiravan in a place called by a Kund called Kishori Kund. Very remote. At that time, very remote. Who knew where Varsana was? There was no big mandir up on top of the hill. But he liked the place so much, he made that his residence. And by providential arrangement, he had this desire that started to grow, very surprising desire for such a renunciate as Lokanath, that he wanted to worship a deity. Imagine living in the forest, a complete renunciate, having nothing, having a desire to worship a deity. And the desire became stronger and stronger and stronger. And he was very surprised. Where is this desire coming from? And the answer came very soon. One day a brahmana appeared out of nowhere and came and presented a cloth bag to Lokanath and said, "Here, this is for you," and turned around and disappeared. He looked inside the bag and there was Radhavinod. And he was thinking, "Whoa, what am I going to do? This is Krishna's appearing because I had this desire. He's reciprocating with that desire." It turns out Krishna wanted him to have that desire. Radhavinod said, "I am Radhavinod, and I have come here because I want you to worship me. So please begin some worship." And Lokanath said, "But how can I do that? I don't have anything. I don't have any place to keep you. I don't have any place for myself even. So what to speak of keeping you? And what offerings can I make?" And Radhavinod said again, "But I'm hungry. Find something and feed me. I'm hungry." So living in a forest, he went and found whatever roots and berries and whatever edibles he could find, made some simple offering and offered it to Radhavinod. With whatever soft leaves he could find, he made a little bed for Radhavinod to lay them down at night. And with other large leaves stitched together with little sticks, he made a fan and would fan them, sing to them, just like in the spiritual world, just serving Krishna. Because in his spiritual identity, he's a very intimate Manjari, assistant of Radharani. And so his spiritual elevation was such that he just began performing those activities which he would do in the spiritual world. Living very austere life in the forest of Raj. Then just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicated, Sanatan and Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan. We know what the distance, because we did it by car, the distance between Vrindavan and Varsana. So Sanatan and Rupa Goswami, hearing about the glories of this wonderful associate, personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is living in Braj. So they went to see him and they saw how simply he was living. And they invited him, "Please come and stay with us in Vrindavan." because it'll be much safer there for the deity than way off here. So Lokanath came, made his residence in the same area where the Gokulananda temple is, where we visited, and he worshipped Radha-Vinod in that place. And that worship went on for a very long time. Another part of the Leela, which was enacted by Lokanath, was his accepting of Narottama Das Thakur. We described that when we visited that temple. Lokanath had this vow that he would not accept any disciples, but the extreme loving mood of humble service of Narottam Das Thakur, who was the son of a king, and Lokanath, considering himself to be this insignificant nobody, was saying to him, this is not possible. You're the son of a king. How can I be your spiritual master? Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they're so elevated. You should seek their association for initiation. But Narottam was so moved by the unique qualities of Lokanath through his service in great humility, cleaning up the call of nature that Lokanath was depositing by the side of the Jamuna each day for a long period of time with his own hand, just cleaning, just so that the place would be very nice for Lokanath each day. Discovering that Narottam was doing this, it melted the heart of Lokanath, and he accepted this one disciple. And Narottam Das Thakur, Prabhupada said about Narottam Das Thakur that his songs are equivalent to scripture. And his spiritual master was Lokanath. And these deities of Radha-Vinod are the deities of Lokanath Goswami. So he continued his bhajan in the same area, Radha Gokulananda temple area. His samadhi was placed nearby the temple. And these deities of Radha-Vinod were brought from Vrindavan to Jaipur along with the several other sets of deities that we'll be visiting today. Radha Govinda, we saw Radha Madhav yesterday, Radha Vinod, Radha Damodar, and Radha Gopinath. So it's about time for us to go take darshan of Radha Damodar. So the sequence will be Radha Damodar, then Radha Gopinath, so let me say something about Radha Govinda. When you are looking at the altar, you could see the Govindaji deity and Radharani, and right by Govinda's right side, there's a deity about this tall. That's Gaur Govinda deity that was personally arranged by Lord Chaitanya for Kashishwara Pandit to worship. We told this description, and then the Shalagram Shila that was personally worshipped by Rupa Goswami and Lalita and Vishakha. I'll try to describe this quickly. The Govindaji deity is one of the principal deities established by Vajranabh and installed in that area. That area where the Govindaji temple is called Yogpith. There's four directions and four, Dinabandhu calls it, places where Krishna's pastimes are coordinated for the day. And that's one of the places. Has that spiritual significance. Because from Vrindakund, which we didn't visit, that's another one of the places. Vrindadevi would coordinate and orchestrate the pastimes of Krishna day by day. The colors of the flowers and the ornaments that the devotees would wear and who would visit who at which time and which location. She coordinated the whole thing. So the, as many things were lost over the period of time, the Govindaji deity was lost. It's a very nice description. That Rupa Goswami was empowered. We heard this about Rupa Goswami several times during this yatra. He was specifically empowered by Lord Chaitanya to understand his heart and to carry out his instructions. He was empowered to carry out his instructions because he was fully surrendered to his instructions. But he was specially empowered. And one of the instructions was to establish the places of Krishna's pastimes as well as to write books. And one of the principal deities was not to be found. The Madan Mohan deity had been found, but Govindaji had not been found. And so he was searching and searching and searching all of Raja. He even went into people's homes, home by home, like, knocking on doors. Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? And the Mahants didn't know, and the elder Vaishnavas didn't know. Nobody knew where to find Govindaji. So this desire sambhog, desire to find Govinda. So one day with this very intense desire, like disappointment that he was unable to fulfill this instruction, one small cowherd boy came and saw Rupa Goswami looking so unhappy and asked, "Why are you looking this way? You look so disturbed." And he explained, because although it was a complete stranger, just a young boy, because of the charm and beauty and transcendental presence of, it was Krishna, that he just opened his heart and explained the whole thing. And the small boy said, "There's no need to be in despair like this. I can tell you where Govindaji deity is. Up on top of that hill." And he pointed. "There's a cow that comes every morning and stands over the same place and just releases her milk right into the soil. That's because she's performing Abhishek of Govinda. Come, I'll show you." And took his hand and took him right to the place where the cow would deposit his milk. And just as suddenly as the boy appeared, he disappeared. So Rupa Goswami could understand who that little boy was. Amazing. And so, because of his stature, Rupa Goswami simply informed the local people what had happened. And the next morning, they very, very carefully began to dig. And the very place where the deity was found is just where the temple is presently. There's a little structure to the side where the deity, where the hole where the deity was. And you see how large is Govindaji. Very, very large. So big, just like when Madhavendra Puri showed everybody where Gopal was, the same kind of a ceremony, Abhishek and grand festival, and the installation of Radha Govinda, of Govinda took place. Then a rather longish narration could follow, but I'll shorten it because we've discussed it already. The son of Prataparudra Maharaj, the king of Utkal, wanted to have Radha by the side of Govinda and Madan Mohan. So he produced those deities. We heard this yesterday, the pujari of the Madan Mohan deity had a dream where the Radha by his side was really Radha, but the other Radha, who was a little taller, was actually Lalita. Lalita is a little older and a little taller than Radha. So Radha, Madan Mohan, and Lalita, leaving Govindaji without Radha. So, the son of Prataparudra, Purushottam Jena, was really anxious to perform that service for Govinda, but there was no indication how it should be done. The indication came when one Brahmin in a part of his kingdom who lived in a village called Radhapur, this goes back several generations, a Brahmin was worshipping a deity of Radha, and his state of spiritual elevation was so exalted that everyone in the whole countryside knew. So when he left his body, the king attended the funeral to honor this person, the Brahmana, and it was brought to the king's attention, there's no one to continue the worship of Radha. So the king brought the deity of Radha and placed the deity of Radha in Jagannath temple. And over a period of years, persons had forgotten that this is Radha and were worshipping her as Lakshmi. So the king had a dream, Purushottam Jena had a dream in which Radha appeared and said, I'm actually Radha, I'm not Lakshmi. And I want to go and be by the side of Govinda. Can you make that arrangement? So he was very happy, transcendentally happy. And the Radha that we see by the side of Govindaji is that same deity. That deity that was worshipped, the whole narration is, the deity of Radha that was worshipped by this Brahmin originally came from Jaipur. From Vrindavan. Came from Vrindavan, went to Utkal, ended up in Jagannath temple, and came back by the side of Govinda in Vrindavan. And so that Radha and Govinda, then Gaur Govinda, just like Prabhupada named one of his disciples, Gaur Govinda. When Rupa Goswami found Govindaji, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still present. So he sent him a message through a Brahmin messenger, indicating the good news that Govinda has been found. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received that messenger and heard the news, he was in Gambira and he was so happy to receive this news. Rupa Goswami, you have fulfilled all of my desires. And he called his two godbrothers, as you may know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, his two persons were sent by Ishwarapuri, who were Ishwarapuri's disciples. These two disciples were Govinda and Kashishwara, or Kashishwara Pandit. And when they were sent by Ishwarapuri, Lord Chaitanya was disturbed. How can I accept service from a godbrother? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya intervened and said, when the order of the spiritual master is given, it is very strong. It must be followed. So there's this etiquette. One should not accept service from one's godbrother. There's a higher principle. And the higher principle above all these other principles is the order of the spiritual master is to be followed. Lord Chaitanya accepted that Kashishwara and Govinda would serve him. And they served him in very intimate, personal ways. When this news of Govindaji being discovered, he called Kashishwara and instructed Kashishwara to come to Vrindavan and worship, assist Rupa Goswami, worship the deity. So here we go again, an instruction that one doesn't want to follow. He didn't want to leave Lord Chaitanya's association. Lord Chaitanya is his life and soul. So he pleaded with Lord Chaitanya, how can I go, how can I leave you without your association? What is my life? So knowing the mood of Kashishwara Pandit, Lord Chaitanya arranged, during his lifetime, he arranged for a deity of himself, called the deity Gaur Govinda, entrusted the deity to Kashishwara, and said, you take this deity with you, and whenever you're worshipping this deity, you will see me. So Kashishwara came to Vrindavan, along with his Gaur Govinda deity, and we'll go back to the temple, and we'll have darshan again, by Govinda's right foot, or between Govinda and the Shalagram Shila, large Shalagram Shila, is a deity about this tall, Gaur Govinda. And that's the altar of Radha Govinda. And how powerful is Govindaji? Have you seen any temple anywhere in the world where so many people come for Mangalarti at 5 o'clock in the morning? So powerful, so merciful. The deity of Govinda, Radha Govinda, is the deity that presides over the activities of devotional service. Madan Mohan is establishing one's relationship or knowledge of the relationship of all things with their source of emanation, the Supreme. And Radha Govinda is the activities of devotion. He presides over drawing us closer and closer to him through the activities of devotion. At this temple only, so far, where we've attended Mangalarti at least, or attended Kirtan, it's not just banging of gongs, it's singing of his name. And so many different choruses of people singing different songs. They even took the classic song and took Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare and made it Om Govinda Ji Hare, Hare, according to their mentality. But devotional service. And advancing and progressing through the purification of heart through the medium of devotional service. How, just two quick things and then we'll go, but important things. How do you approach Govinda? You can't approach Krishna directly, you approach Krishna through Radha. But how do you approach Radha? We say Radhe, Radhe, but what qualification do we have to approach Radha? But the intimate associate, Lalita Devi, by her side, through Lalita we approach Radha, who approaches Krishna. But how do we approach Lalita? What qualification do we have to approach Lalita? This is what happened in the Shyamananda pastime, where he found the ankle bell, the ankle ornament, in the kunj that he was cleaning. And it was Lalita who came to retrieve the ankle ornament. It was Lalita who transported him to the spiritual world before Srimati Radharani. So how do we approach Lalita? We certainly need humble service, as Shyamananda was doing. And the instructor of that process of humble service is Rupa Goswami. In Lord Chaitanya's Leela, it's Rupa Goswami. So we're Rupanugas. And in Krishna Leela, Rupa Goswami is Sri Rupa Manjari, an intimate associate and servant of Lalita, who serves Radha in very confidential ways, who serves Krishna. And Rupa Goswami was the one who manifested Govindaji, again to our vision. So we just follow very carefully Rupa Goswami's teachings. And try to attract the pleasure of Rupa Goswami, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, as the Vaishnava song describes. The lotus feet of Rupa Goswami are everything. The instructions of Rupa Goswami take us to Rupa Goswami's lotus feet. The process of devotional service is to be executed in that way, following very carefully Rupa Goswami's teachings. And just see how powerful. Same at the Madan Mohan Temple. When it was aarti time, each time, so many people came from all over the place, streaming, just like we saw people coming by foot, coming to the Mangal Aarti. The center of the life of Karoli is Madan Mohan. The center of life of Jaipur is Govindaji and these other temples. And consider the devotion of Jai Singh. What was his concern? His concern was to serve Govinda. And because his function is that of Kshatriya, his service was to protect. So he brought Govindaji and the other deities here for safety. And now see what was the result of that service. The whole city of Jaipur is Govindaized. Just from service. His duty was that of king. And now by serving nicely, so each of us, we have our capacity or propensity for service, and if we serve appropriately the deity and the Lord and his holy name and his transcendental teachings of how to render devotional service as given to us by Rupa Goswami, the best benefit goes to everybody. This is proof. You know, the whole city of Jaipur is still going its modern way. We saw plenty of it last night on the way back from the temple. But the spiritual sustenance is found in this, the teachings and the worship and the holy name and the service to the Vaishnavas. And that makes it, sanctifies this place as a place of pilgrimage that for which we've come. Shishi Radha Vinod ki, Shishi Radha Govinda ji ki, Shishi Radha Damodar ki, Samveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Pimanandi.